Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. We're going to speak about something today that very few Americans know about, and there may be a lot of you listening today that have never heard what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to talk about today was real. Fortunately, there's documented proof that backs up everything we're going to talk about on today's podcast. And while there are some of you out there that would say, oh, the government would never do this or that, you better listen close today.
Something has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street there by the Simmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
This just in from Dallas, Homicide Chief Captain Will Fritz said today the assassination case against Lee Harvey Oswald is cinched. He said flatly, "This is the man that killed President Kennedy, 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald."
No, they're taking me in because of the fact that I live in Missouri. I'm just a patsy. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun.
Merriam-Webster defines a false flag as this: a hostile or harmful action, such as an attack, that is designed to look like it was perpetrated by someone other than the person or group responsible for it. Operation Northwoods was a proposed false flag operation that originated within the U.S. Department of Defense of the United States government in 1962. The proposals called for CIA operatives to both stage and commit acts of terrorism against American military and civilian targets. Yes, I said commit acts of terrorism against American military and civilian targets. They would then blame these acts on the Cuban government and would be used to justify a war against Cuba. The possibilities detailed in the document included the remote control of civilian aircraft, which would be secretly repainted as a U.S. Air Force plane, a fabricated shootdown of a U.S. Air Force fighter aircraft off the coast of Cuba, also the possible assassination of Cuban immigrants. Also, the sinking of boats of Cuban refugees on the high seas. Also, blowing up of a U.S. ship and orchestrating terrorism in U.S. cities. The proposals were rejected by President Kennedy in 1962. But folks, they were very real. Fidel Castro had taken power in Cuba in 1959 and began allowing communists into the new Cuban government, nationalizing U.S. businesses and improving relations with the Soviet Union, arousing the concern of the U.S. military due to the Cold War. The operation was proposed to create public support for a war against Cuba by blaming the Cuban government for terroristic acts that would be perpetrated by the U.S. government. Again, the operation proposed was to create public support for a war against Cuba by blaming the Cuban government for terroristic acts that would be perpetrated by the U.S. government. To this end, Operation Northwood's proposals recommended hijackings and bombings, followed by the introduction of false evidence that would implicate the Cuban government. It stated, quote, "The desired result from the execution of this plan would be to place the United States in the apparent position of suffering defensible grievances from a rash of irresponsible government of Cuba and to develop an international image of a Cuban threat to peace in the Western Hemisphere," end quote. Several other proposals were included within Operation Northwoods, including real or simulated actions against various U.S. military and civilian targets. The operation recommended developing a, quote, "communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, in other Florida cities, and even in Washington," end quote. This would also involve the bombing of civilian targets, which was to be blamed on the Cuban government to paint a false image of Fidel Castro and misinform the American public. The plan was drafted by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, signed by Chairman Lehman Lunmetzer, and sent to the Secretary of Defense. Although part of the U.S. government's anti-communist Cuban project, Operation Northwoods was never officially accepted. It was authorized by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but then rejected by President Kennedy. The main operations Northwoods proposal was presented in a document titled, quote, "Justification for U.S. Military Intervention in Cuba," end quote. It was a top-secret collection of draft memoranda written by the Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The document was presented by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara on March 13, 1962, as a preliminary submission for planning purposes. The Joint Chiefs recommended that both the covert and overt aspects of such an operation be assigned to them. The previously secret document was originally made public on November 18, 1997 by the John F. Kennedy Assassins Records Review Board, a U.S. federal agency overseeing the release of government records related to John F. Kennedy's assassination. A total of 1,521 pages of once-secret military records covering 1962 to 1964 were declassified by said review board. The Northwood plans are among the most significant new JFK documents to emerge since Oliver Stone's JFK movie. However, public knowledge of Operation Northwoods did not come until 2001 with the release of a book by the author James Bamford titled Body of Secrets. Following the presentation of the Northwoods plan that Kennedy shot down, Kennedy removed Lemmetzer as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. U.S. military leaders began to perceive Kennedy as going soft on Cuba, and the president became increasingly unpopular with the military. A rift had already developed during Kennedy's disagreements with the service chiefs over the Cuban Missile Crisis in October 1962. So in the end, Operation Northwoods never happened. Or did it? Did it serve as a blueprint for the assassination of John F. Kennedy? Because after all, it had been implemented against world leaders many times, just never at an American target. But on November 22, 1963, a spectacular attack on a U.S. target did occur, and the immediate response was to blame Cuba. It was a violent act against a prominent American target, and they had their allegedly pro-Castro assassin Lee Harvey Oswald to take the blame. Within hours of Kennedy's assassination, Oswald is arrested, and CIA propaganda assets go to work to link him immediately to the Castro government. These efforts were quite successful. We actually have the headlines the next day to prove it. Early papers in and around Washington, D.C. headlines said, quote, "Pro-Castro marksman kills the president," end quote. So maybe in the minds of many in our government, Operation Northwoods was a success after all.
This was a struggle of Cuban patriots against a Cuban dictator.
On March 13, 1962, the Joint Chiefs of Staff put this document in front of the Secretary of Defense for approval from the President. This is a memo prepared by the most senior leaders in the U.S. military, some of the most powerful men in the country. And they're asking for permission to execute a plan to lob mortar shells into their own military bases with some damage to installations, and then to make hijacking attempts against civilian air and surface craft. They're proposing to blow up a U.S. ship in the U.S. naval base Guantanamo Bay, and even to conduct a terror campaign on American soil, exploding a few plastic explosives in carefully chosen spots. We're looking at a plan to blow things up on American soil and then to blame it all on Cuba.
The Cuban people have not yet spoken their final piece.
This operation never happened, but it almost did, and that gets to a big question. Why would some of America's most powerful leaders charged with safeguarding our nation think that their duty would require them to lie to and terrorize the American people? In other words, why were they planning Operation Northwoods?
It is not the first time communist tanks have rolled over gallant men and women. Let the record show that our restraint is not inexhaustible.
Operation Northwoods was a response to a problem the U.S. government had. They called it the Cuba problem. Cuba became a problem for the CIA when they watched this young activist with an affinity for cigars lead a communist revolution on the island, throwing out the American-friendly dictator and nationalizing all the valuable land and industries that American businesses had been getting rich off for decades. This was the Cold War, and communism was now 90 miles away, threatening to spread to other countries in Latin America, countries that American businesses also wanted to continue controlling and exploiting. And any day, this new leader could align with the Soviet Union, giving the U.S.'s biggest geopolitical rival a military base within breathing distance of Florida. So this was what the Joint Chiefs called their Cuba problem. The U.S. had a few solutions to their problem. First, they put an embargo on Cuba, blocking all U.S. exports to the country, except for food and medicine. Second, they stopped buying Cuba's largest export, sugar. This actually ended up backfiring when the Soviet Union stepped in to buy Cuban sugar, kicking off an economic alliance between these two communist countries, exactly what the U.S. didn't want. And third, the U.S. started making plans. Lots of plans. Plans to somehow get rid of Castro, to turn Cuba back into the American business-friendly client state through whatever means necessary. In one of these secret plans called Operation Zapata, the CIA recruited 1,500 Cuban exiles who fled to Miami during the Cuban Revolution. It was this little CIA-funded army called Brigade 2506, and the goal was to have them invade Cuba and remove Castro from power. So the CIA trains them at this camp in the mountains of Guatemala, where they had just recently executed a coup and installed a U.S.-friendly dictator. And right in the middle of the planning stages of this operation, JFK wins the presidency.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And he inherits this scheme to invade Cuba using exiled Cubans. The CIA briefs him on it, this plan to fix the Cuba problem by forcibly unseating Castro using Cuban exiles. And after some debate, JFK approves the plan. So on the 17th of April, 1961, they launched their invasion. Brigade 2506 landed on Playa Girón with the plan to invade the island and spark a popular revolution against Castro.
The assault has begun on the dictatorship of Fidel Castro. Landings were effected by rebels and several...
But it was a complete failure. Castro had found out about the invasion ahead of time. A radio station on the beach had spotted the invading ships arriving and called for help. Several of the invading ships sank on the coral reef, and the invading forces were met with immediate resistance from Cuban armed forces, who defeated them within 3 days. Most of them were captured. 9 U.S. servicemen actually flew combat missions in support of this invasion, 4 of which were shot down and killed in the process, something the U.S. government and the CIA would go on to deny for almost 30 years. But the point is that this invasion failed miserably, and JFK and his administration were to blame.
Too long we have fixed our eyes on traditional military means, on armies prepared to cross borders, on missiles poised for flight. Now it should be clear that this is no longer enough.
JFK would later fire the CIA director, holding him responsible for the disastrous invasion plan that we know as the Bay of Pigs. But this didn't change anything. The U.S. government was still obsessed with removing Castro from power. They just needed a new plan. So JFK initiates his own plan, called the Cuba Project, aka Operation Mongoose. Over the next year, the CIA employs hundreds of spies to collect intelligence on Cuba. They send submarines on recon missions to Cuban waters. They fund anti-Castro protest movements, spreading propaganda throughout the country. They sabotage Cuban infrastructure to create chaos, and they make dozens more plans to assassinate Castro directly, including preparing poisonous pills to be planted in a beverage to be drunk by Castro. They even hired the American mafia to deliver the pills, knowing that the mafia had their casinos kicked out of Havana during the revolution and would want revenge. But none of this worked. The assassination attempts all fell apart. Fidel Castro still remained in power, and his support wasn't wavering. And the U.S. military was getting desperate. They needed to solve the Cuba problem before the Soviets could get more involved on the island. So after all these botched assassination attempts and failed invasions, the Joint Chiefs of Staff concluded that the only way to get rid of Castro was for the U.S. military itself to invade Cuba and take him out. But they knew that the U.S. public would not support an outright invasion. They needed to create a reason, a justification. And this gets us back to our document. The one that went to the Secretary of Defense for the President's approval. This cover and deception plan to make attacks on American targets. Attacks that will be blamed on Cuba to raise tensions between the U.S. and Cuba to justify an invasion. A legitimate provocation as the basis for a U.S. military intervention in Cuba. In other words, a lie to the American public and the international community. A series of false flags to get what they wanted. And all detailed in this classified document that was only meant for a few people, with hopes that the president would approve in the spring of 1962.
If the nations of this hemisphere should fail to meet their commitments against outside communist penetration, then I want it clearly understood that this government will not hesitate in meeting its primary obligations, which are to the security of our nation.
So let's see what this plan actually says. It starts with the U.S. military base at Guantanamo Bay, where they would start rumors using fake radio stations and get American-friendly locals to stage attacks on the base, starting riots in the surrounding area. Another proposed part of the plan was to blow up a U.S. ship and blame it on Cuba. This was specifically called out as a, quote, remember the Maine incident, referencing the sinking of an American warship in Cuba in the late 1800s that the U.S. used to justify intervening in Cuba back then to fight the Spanish. This is often thought of as a planned sabotage to justify the intervention. And here was the U.S. military in the 60s at it again. The document predicts that the newspapers would start reporting on the casualties, causing a helpful wave of national indignation. They also wanted to create a terrorist campaign on American soil in Miami or Washington. They wanted to sink boats of Cuban refugees and stage the shooting of refugee targets, and even suggested exploding a few bombs in American cities. They even say in the document that they would go to the extent of wounding people and then making fake arrests with prepared documents so it could all be widely publicized, making Cuba look like an irresponsible government worthy of American intervention. They thought through having American Air Force pilots fly over places like Nicaragua and drop bombs on cane fields to burn them down using weapons from the Soviet Union. But for this to work, they would have to be flying Cuban military-style aircraft. They would need to ensure that their planes were properly painted. They would also use these planes to harass American civilian aircraft, making it look like it was the Cubans doing this. They planned a hijacking of commercial planes to blame the Cuban government or to fake shooting down a civilian airliner. And if that wasn't enough, the Joint Chiefs planned to create an incident which will make it appear that communist Cuban jets have destroyed a U.S. Air Force aircraft while it was flying over international waters in an unprovoked attack. Operation Northwoods was a reckless plan to lie and hurt people, proposed by top government leaders who were more and more desperate to invade Cuba. And they wanted to move fast. They say in just a few months. They needed to do this so that this attack wouldn't involve the Soviet Union, who still hadn't established any defense pact or military bases in Cuba. So what we're looking at here is the increasing desperation of the U.S. military to achieve its goal, to solve the Cuba problem. If JFK would just approve this plan, then the military would get to work blowing things up, attacking their bases, and terrorizing the American people. But he rejected it. Operation Northwoods never happened. JFK's rejection of this plan is one reason that there was a rift between him and the military, with the military wanting to take a hard line on Cuba and JFK feeling the sting of the Bay of Pigs invasion, thinking that something like this was too much of a risk. A month later, another document came to him, the Joint Chiefs following up with another memo saying that the only way to remove the communist regime was military intervention by the United States, and that Cuba was a vital base of operations for espionage, sabotage, and subversion against other countries in the region. The fear was that communism would spread across Latin America because of this, and time is running out. The rift between JFK and the military continued during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the Joint Chiefs hoped to deploy nuclear missiles against the Soviets and invade Cuba. But JFK stood up to the military once again and said no. JFK eventually went on to deny General Lehman Lemnitzer another term as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, likely because of his leading role in planning Operation Northwoods. And looking at this bizarre episode in American history, you might feel like this is a moment where our system worked. Military leaders tried to abuse their power to launch an unprovoked and illegal invasion of another country, and the president stopped them. Checks and balances, right? But the reality is, all these men have the same goal. Castro out of power and Cuba under their control again. Their disagreement was one of just a few degrees. The means, not the ends. The reality is that the U.S. was one man, just one person, away from this operation happening, from a full-scale invasion. If JFK had lost the presidency to Nixon, would Operation Northwoods have happened? We can't say conclusively, but it certainly raises the probability. But what's more startling is that, outside of a few norms and some ideas about government, nothing fundamentally has changed in our government. The political military machine still runs on the same software it did in the 60s. If the US government felt like it, and had a big enough enemy, a big enough threat to American interests, it could happen again.
The Iraqi regime has plotted to develop anthrax and nerve gas and nuclear weapons for over a decade. States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten the peace of the world.
So maybe in the minds of many in our government, Operation Northwoods was a success after all.